Hey, as many of you will know, Ange and I got the chance last year to travel a little bit. We went to China and then we went to Japan as well. And look, we just had an awesome time in both countries. Seriously, it was so good. But there was this one night in our travels, which was definitely the worst night of the trip. It was rough, and it was when we were supposed to fly from China to Japan, to Tokyo. So we're in this place in China that was a little bit more inland, so it meant that we had to take one flight to Shanghai and then stop over and then take another flight to land into Tokyo. And look, we got to the airport nice and early, the first airport. We're like, we want to make sure we're not stranded somewhere in your kind of rural China, right? We want to make sure we get on this flight. And we get there, and it was like 6 p.m. or something, and our flight was delayed. Like, by a long time as well. And so Ange and I are just kind of like in this small airport waiting with everybody else, all the other Australian tourists that were also there. And finally we get in our plane and we're like checking the time while we're flying, looking at the little screen going, are we going to make it in time? Anyway, we land in Shanghai. And look, months earlier, Ange and I made this decision to book our flights fairly close together for two reasons, because it was cheaper. And the second reason was because, you know, it was going to be midnight when we were in Shanghai. We're like, we don't want to be there for hours and hours. Let's try and do the shorter one. It was probably, it was definitely the wrong decision to make, because what ended up happening was when we landed in Shanghai, we must have looked crazy because we had our bags, you know, rolling behind us, and we were sprinting through this airport trying to get there. And I don't know if anyone's ever been to Shanghai Airport, but it is a massive airport. So they have a train in the airport to get you from one gate to the other, right? And so we're sprinting. We go the wrong way. We're trying to find, like, follow these Chinese directions, right? The signs going like, where are we going? What are we doing? And again, remember, it's midnight, so we're also exhausted. And safe to say, we missed our flight. Just completely missed. There was no chance we were ever going to get on it. And we were stuck, right? We were stuck in between, where we were and where we were going. We were stuck at this Shanghai airport, I think, for like 7 hours, sleeping on the floor, trying to, you know, just wait out the time for the next flight that we could take to go to Japan. We were in this in-between space. We had the promise of something amazing to come, right? Like, we were just picturing, you know, that Tokyo skyline and seeing Mount Fuji and, you know, all the beautiful natural things and all the yummy food. We had this promise of something amazing to come, but we weren't yet there. We were in this in-between space. We could taste it, but it wasn't in our grasp. And Luke opens up his gospel, and thank you for reading to us this morning, John. Luke opens up his gospel showing us a world that's caught in between, just like we were. God's people are living in limbo. They're in a world that was created for good by God, but also was deeply, deeply broken. Israel was living under the crushing weight of other kingdoms and other rulers for generations. Their kingdom had been dismantled and their people had been scattered throughout the area. The Israelites were a broken people, lost and wondering where their God was. You see, they turned away from God in their own kind of sinfulness, and as a result, they were given over to be trampled by these other kingdoms. But God, in his mercy, gave them hope. He spoke to his people through the prophets, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, like Joel, to tell them that one day he would restore what was broken. He would bring restoration to the people of Israel and to the world itself. And so this is the context in which Jesus was born into. God's people are living under the rule of others. They're under this crushing weight of the Roman Empire. And they're waiting. They're in this in-between space while they wait for God to bring restoration. They can see that God's restoration is on its way, but they just have to wait for it to come. And for our passage today, this is right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. You know, he's just been baptized by John as a way of kind of signifying this beginning of his ministry. And as he comes up out of the water, John sees the Holy Spirit descend onto Jesus. And at the beginning of Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River where he was baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. The Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness, where he has a showdown with the one who tempts all of us into sin. Spoiler alert, Jesus comes out victorious against him. And then we get to our passage for this morning, and again we see Jesus, led by the Spirit, teaching people about God. And right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this is like the first kind of thing we see Jesus saying to a group of people in Luke. He declares his mission. He uses the words of one of the prophets that was written hundreds and hundreds of years before and says to the crowd gathered in the synagogue, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." From the get-go, just as he's getting started in his ministry, Jesus declares, "This is what I'm here for. This is my mission, to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the captives, sight for the blind, and freedom for the oppressed." Jesus' mission is all about bringing this restoration to a broken world. And now Jesus is making a massive claim here because he's aligning himself with the words of the prophets. He's telling everyone, these words that were written hundreds of years ago, they're about me. I'm the one who will bring restoration to our broken world. And as we look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, we can see that he backs up these claims. We see his mission come to fruition. See, he brought restoration through his actions as he healed the sick, he healed the blind and the paralyzed. He breaks down these kind of social and cultural norms that disregarded those in need and ignored the needy. He brought people back from the dead to life. And he taught people about turning back to God, repenting to him. And ultimately, Jesus brought restoration through his death and his resurrection. Because through his death, he bore the punishment we deserve for going against God. The Bible says the prize, the thing we earn for our sin, is death. But Jesus died in our place, reconciling us to God, restoring our broken relationship with him. And through his resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death. And just as he was raised, we too can have new life when we choose to follow him. So the prophets spoke about this time that was to come. They said that someone was coming who would bring restoration to all things. In the passage Jesus read out, he calls it the year of the Lord's favor. Or another prophet, Joel, called it the day of the Lord. And this is kind of just some terminology to give us this sense that there will be a time when all things will be restored. And in Jesus, we see that he's ushered in this year of the Lord's favor, or this day of the Lord. He's brought healing and justice and restoration. And yet, when we look at the world around us, or when we look at our lives or the lives of those around us, we still see a lot of pain, don't we? And a lot of brokenness in our world. And this is because the day of the Lord is here, but it also hasn't fully yet come, right? In our world, we see brokenness and sickness and pain and heartache still because we are in this day of the Lord. Only when Jesus returns will everything fully be restored to the way that they should be. God's creation and his people will know him and will walk with him into complete restoration. And so this is what I mean by this kind of in-between space. For all of us living on this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are currently in the day of the Lord. Jesus has brought restoration and is still bringing restoration to our world. Just like Ange and myself being in between China and Japan, right? All of us are in between. We're in the now, but not yet, period. This middle space where we're tasting the goodness of what is to come, but we're not fully there yet. So we're in this in-between time. We're in the day of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, where we've seen restoration through his ministry, but we're also waiting expectantly for the completion of this restoration in our world. Throughout May, we're looking at this idea of mission, May Mission Month, you know, Triple M. And Andy, over the last few weeks, has spoken to us about the mission that God calls us to. We've also shared a little bit about those missionaries that we support both locally and overseas. And so what does it mean for us to be on mission in this in-betweenness, in this now but not yet? Well, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus means picking up the mission that he left for us. As followers of Jesus, we're called to continue his restorative work in the world. as we wait for the fullness of God's glory to return with Jesus, we're invited to take part in his mission, his restoration of our world. And often when we think about mission, we can focus solely on evangelism or, telling people through our words the gospel, right? And this is a massive part of mission. But there are also so many other components to mission and so many other ways that we see Jesus doing this restorative work in his ministry. The mission of God includes evangelism. It also includes witnessing through our lives. It means sharing our testimony. It means worship. It means showing kindness and generosity and seeking justice in our world. As a church, we support a few missionaries who carry out God's mission in Australia and overseas. But the reality is, as followers of Jesus, we're all called to be missionaries. We're all called to be part of God's mission work wherever we find ourselves, continue his restorative work in the world. So what does it look like for us to carry on Jesus' mission? What does it look like for you to carry on Jesus' mission in your life? As some of you will know, I work 2 days as a chaplain in a public school, kind of in the Blacktown area. And my work there as a chaplain is very relational, getting to know a lot of the staff and the families and the students as well and walking beside them. But they also love to, see me run some programs and things like that. And the guy who was there before me, who I actually know through other ways, he set up this play group at the primary school, right? And from what I know about this guy, it was like definitely in his wheelhouse. He is so good with young kids, and he's great with his hands and craft and making up games that kids love to play and everything like that. So I'm sure he said, oh, I'd love to run this play group. And the principal was like, oh, that sounds great. Let's do it. And it was just thriving, right? Anyway, he's now moved on to another school, and now I'm at this school, and they're like, Ben, we'd love it if you could run this play group. And I know nothing about kids that age, right? We didn't have any kids. No one in my family has kids or anything like that. The only kind of kids I interact with that age are maybe Eden, who is Shash and Caitlin's kids, and then Ange's nieces and nephews, right? And so this has been a massive learning curve for me starting there. And I just had, when we first started, I've been there for a year now, and when I first started, I just had no idea what to do. The crafts were too complicated 1 week, and, apparently kids don't know how to use scissors, I'm learning, okay? And so then the next week, they'd be too simple. And the parents would be like, well, that was a bit of a boring craft. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, right? I didn't know how to talk to the kids. You can only talk so much to someone who's 3 years old, right? And even with the mums as well, they all wanted to talk about mum things. And I'm not a mum, so I couldn't really talk too much. I could just be like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah, that does sound hard. And so I just ended up leaving this playgroup week after week feeling confused, feeling discouraged and feeling exhausted, because I was like, what am I doing here? I don't know how to do this whatsoever. How am I supposed to pick up this thing that Dan, the previous chaplain, has kind of started? And so I ended up getting some help, right? And I went and found my old kids church leader, so from when I was in kids church, because she runs 4 playgroups a week at the moment. So she's like, to me, like the playgroup guru. And so she gave me all of this great stuff, right? She had all these crafts and just was handing me all of these different things. She gave me books that I could read with the kids. She gave me a playlist of songs that we could sing and dance along to and everything I could possibly need. And it was just an incredible help. And every now and then she also checks in on me, and sometimes I can send her a message or give her a call and be like, I need help with this. Like, what do I do? That sort of thing. But it's going to her and getting help from someone who knows what they're doing was just so incredibly dramatically helpful for me. And suddenly I feel way more equipped to run this playgroup. Do I feel called to it? Not necessarily, but I feel a lot more equipped to do it, right? And you see, we've been given this calling by God to continue the work that Jesus had done. And I wonder if often we can feel the same way about mission as I felt about this playgroup. We're picking up this mission that Jesus has started, and we don't know what to do. We feel a bit out of our depth. We feel confused. We feel unequipped and maybe even discouraged. But here's the thing. We don't have to do it alone. What were the first words that Jesus said when he got up in the synagogue? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Just before Jesus went up to heaven, and as he was giving his disciples and us this call to continue the work that he had begun, he said that he would send them a helper, someone who could empower them and comfort them and remind them of all the things that Jesus had taught them. You see, the Lord God has given us his Spirit to empower us as we seek to continue Jesus' restorative work in the world. Just like I had that person that I could call on for help to equip me and empower me as I'm trying to run this play group. God hasn't left us alone in this work. He is with us through his Spirit, helping us to bring restoration to the world. And so I just have three quick points on this. And the first point is that as we seek to bring restoration into the world and go on God's mission, know the Holy Spirit is with us. I was talking to someone on Friday about this and they said, oh, is the Holy Spirit an it or a he? And let me tell you definitively, the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a power to be wielded or a force for us to be sensed, you know, like in Star Wars or something like that. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God living in the hearts of those who put their faith in him. He is a person. He's a person who is with us so that we might know God. And this means that our focus shouldn't be on how we can, you know, grow in or level up our skill set with the Spirit. But actually our focus should be on how we can grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so this means that as we seek to be on God's mission, as we seek to walk with the Spirit, we need to spend time talking with the Spirit, slowing down and listening for his voice, prayerfully asking God, how do you want to use me in your mission work today? And then listening for his prompting, reading God's word, and talking with others about what you might sense he's saying. That's the first point, know the Holy Spirit. And the second point is we need to reflect on how God has already positioned us today. As I mentioned before, we have people overseas who are doing the mission work of God. Ange and I have a friend at the moment who's in Africa, you know, doing midwifery there, teaching people how to deliver babies and at the same time also teaching people the gospel, which is just incredible to me, right? But we're not in Africa. None of us are in Africa, right? But that doesn't mean that we should all move to Africa or anything like that, you know? God has us positioned here for a reason. And so we need to reflect on these things and actually think about, well, where are my mission fields? Where are the places I've been sent to in my life? Where do you find yourself during the week? Maybe it's home or school or at work. Maybe it's in some sports teams or something like that. The reality is God has us where we are for a reason already. And so what would it look like for you to be on God's mission there? What would it look like for you to be part of bringing restoration in the conversations and interactions you have with people in those places? And how has God gifted you uniquely and creatively? Are you good at baking? Are you handy? Are you good at speaking to people? Are you creative? Do you like encouraging people? Do you like giving gifts to people? What gifts and skills has God given you? And is there a way in which you can use those things help bring us just a slice of God's restoration to the lives of others? So we need to know the Holy Spirit and we need to reflect on how God has positioned us already. And the last one is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. In 1 John 5 verse 14 it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." See, God's desire for us is to be in restored relationship with him. God's desire for us is to be in restored relationship with him and to carry on the mission work that he has started in this world until the day that he returns. That's his will. And so when we approach God and ask him for anything according to his will or lining up with his will, he hears us. God gives his people his Holy Spirit because he wants to help us as we seek to do his will. And so Jesus said the Holy Spirit was given to us to empower us, to comfort us, and to remind us of his teaching. So let's ask him to lead us in those conversations, to give us the opportunities where we can be part of this restorative work in the world. Sometimes when I'm having a conversation with someone in my head who doesn't, sometimes when I'm having a conversation with someone who doesn't yet know Jesus, in my head, sometimes I'll pray silently. I'll say, Lord, if it's your will, please just open up the door in this conversation. And look, sometimes nothing happens and that's okay. But sometimes those conversations do open up and I go, wow, I'm so glad that I actually was able to just for a moment position myself towards God and go, God, I want to do what you want in this conversation. And so please lead me and open up the door here. When we ask God for help, when we ask him to lead us, I think he honors those prayers. So here's the encouragement this morning. Jesus' mission is to bring restoration to our broken world, to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the captives, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed. Jesus' mission is all about bringing restoration to a broken world. And we are in a now but not yet time, this in-between, where his restoration has both come and is yet to fully come when he returns. And as followers of Jesus, we're called to continue this mission work, to continue his restorative work in the world, to be part of what he's doing. So how do we do this? We need to know the Holy Spirit, walk with him. We need to reflect on how God has positioned us already. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, wherever we find ourselves, to lead us, to open the doors for us to be part of his mission. Let me pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you that even though we don't deserve it, you sent your son, Jesus, to bring restoration to our broken world and to mend the broken relationship between yourself and us. Lord God, we want to be part of your mission work, your restoration of our broken world. And whether that's, you know, through evangelism or sharing our own story of knowing you, whether it's through worshiping you, our generosity, or even just seeking justice in a broken world, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us. Show us how we might do your mission in our lives. Thank you for sending your Son, and thank you for giving us your Spirit so that we might be empowered and comforted and reminded of your teaching. As we wait for your return, Lord Jesus, pray that you would walk with us each day and help us to shine your light in even the darkest places. Pray this all in your name. Amen.